welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 8, episode number 188. We're inching closer to 200, which is kind of exciting and nutso, to be honest. Like everything else in 2020. Are we going to hit 200 before the end of 2020? Let's see. 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 200. 200 should be sometime in November, give or take.
Wow.
Nice.
That's exciting. And I say give or take because I didn't look forward to breaks or anything. So, yeah, that's exciting. I don't know. In full disclosure, I do not feel 100% tonight. I had a somewhat bad parental day, which just kind of wore me down and wore me out. And, you know, I think the fact that they're easing into the online stuff, Zachary's got 9:15 and a 1 o'clock every day. And the fact that we've completely taken away like TV and tablet, like it was a regular school day and snacking, that, you know, he's constantly bored. He's constantly doesn't like us. I think the door to his room slammed with the, I don't like you, and locked at least 3 times today. Taking him for walks at lunchtime to keep him active. And he just cried and temper tantrumed through the whole thing today. And like, you know, by the end of the day, after like tantrum number, like, I don't know, for a 6-year-old 300, I was like, can you just shut up? I'm just so tired. And he was like, say you're sorry for saying that. And I was like, I can't, because I mean it. You've worn me down. You've got me. I'm tired. Anyway, not a great parenting day for me. And in case you can hear, the seagulls are coming, much like the eagles. But because this
isn't
a Tolkien.
They're sympathizing with you. They get it, that this is a really crazy time, and it's particularly hard for parents. The seagulls get it. They're here for you.
Yes, like I said, not the eagles, the seagulls.
The seagulls. I mean, the eagles, they're very important.
Yeah, they only rescue, they rescue hobbits from, like, burning things and orcs. Yeah,
the seagulls rescue me from. The seagulls got your back.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you've got any leftover peanut butter sandwiches, they will take it all.
Oh my God. But yeah, just tired. Like, so I don't know why. That's all right. We'll chit chat and, you know, listen to the seagulls with our sound.
Oh God, who needs a calming noise machine? I kind of just want that to like help me sleep tonight. But good news. I bought a new pillow and it arrived.
Please tell me it wasn't a My Pillow.
No, of course.
Oh, thank God.
Of course not. I did a lot of research. I have been burned. I have bought a lot of pillows that have been a huge waste of time and money. This one actually has a return policy, so if I don't like it, I can send it back.
Oh, nice.
And it's supposed to have like a 15-year warranty, and you can machine wash it, and it's got like this like environmentally friendly stuffing that you can like add more, take out, and I'm pretty excited about it. But you have to give it a day to like reach full size.
Oh, that's what she said.
I know. Matt, that one was for you, friend. But yeah, gotta wait a day.
I would love a review because I think we are in the market for some new pillows also.
Yeah.
At some point.
I'll report back next week. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll report back next week.
Yeah.
Yes, please do.
I have been working on my sleep hygiene though as well. And of course there's like my bedtime, which has been harder on like quarantine for whatever reason. But I'm like back to like being much more strict about that. But also since last week, I don't know about you guys, but in the, you know, almost a decade that I've had a smartphone, it like lives at night on my bedside table.
Yeah.
And it's my alarm clock. And it's usually, you know, the last thing I look at before I go to bed. Very easy to be the first thing I look at.
Yeah.
Even after the alarm clock, because it is my alarm clock. I decided to leave it downstairs. And I got the old-fashioned alarm, plug that in and like remind myself how to set the alarm. And I've been doing that. And You know, I used to love to watch ASMR videos before I go to bed. And my thing was like, okay, it's screen time, but it's like the whole point is to relax you and to like put you to sleep. But like, but it's still screen time. And then like, because I like it, then I end up like watching them for longer than I should. So decided just to cut the cord. And phone's downstairs. I've also been sleeping with earplugs, which Frank is a fan of and has been telling me, because my worry was always that I wouldn't hear my alarm clock.
Right.
And he always told me like, no, you'll be fine. But I was just, it felt like there was a lot at stake if I didn't hear my alarm clock.
Yeah,
no, that's real. That is real.
That's true. Yeah.
But there he's is. Totally right. I 100% have never not woken up to my alarm clock since doing this. And it's been pretty good.
That's nice. Cool.
So now throw in a new pillow if you have recommendations, yeah. Amanda.
I bought a sleep mask. I haven't done my earplugs yet because I have this like, one of the weird quirks of my anxiety is that like, I'm really anxious about sleeping through my alarm. So like if anything could potentially inhibit me from hearing my alarm, it keeps me awake because I'm stressing that I'm
gonna
not
miss
gonna
it.
Hear it. So then I'm just awake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. The eye mask I have really grown to enjoy.
Oh yes. No, I'm all about the mask. That I've been doing that for a while, but mask, earplugs, and then I realized that I've been reading more before I go to bed. Because before it was like on a really good night, I would like read some and then I'd like watch a video and then I'd go to sleep. But a lot of times it was more like I'm too tired to read, so I'll just watch a video and go to sleep. No, it's like, well, my only option is to read. So
Amanda, what's the brand of pillow?
It's called Co-op.
Co-op. Like, okay.
Yeah. COOP.
So if anybody out there also has a Co-op pillow, let us know. Feel like a pillow is kind of important. Let us know how it is. Amanda, yeah, report back. We are live with the patrons tonight, the hangout level patrons, which I forgot to say at the top of the show because I'm a little off my game tonight, apparently. But in the chat, Ro said, every time I buy new pillows, they end up in the closet and I go back to my old ones again.
Yeah, that's real. That's what I've been doing. It's not great. It's not great.
No,
find a good one.
What's so funny is because like I get that, but still like I use my pillows until they're like, you know, I don't know. I still sleep with my big old pregnancy U-shaped pillow, which drives everybody crazy. They don't understand, but I
that
love it.
Great.
It's great.
That sounds great.
It's like, it's super great because like, cause I was, you know, cause Jay asked me about it like all the time and I'm like, well, you know, you don't like to snuggle, and I can just snuggle with my pillow. I've been snuggling with it for 3 years now. We're like this.
We're
like,
bonded. We're
it's
bonded.
It's literally like,
and
you know.
And then you don't get as hot as, like, snuggling with an actual person. So
true.
It's a
but I like snuggling. True. But he was like, well, you know that, you know, you can snuggle with me at night when we first go to sleep, but you can't, you know, you gotta, you know, go away at some point. Or he's like, you know, you could do a little bit of snuggling, just not like all night long. And I was like, okay, great. So then on Sunday night, I think it was, Jay went to sleep a few minutes before me and I got into bed and I pushed the pillow aside and I went to snuggle with him and he turns around, he goes, he's like, poopsies, leave, go. And he like pushes me away. And I was like, well, I guess that's the end of this experiment. And then the next morning I was like, you said yesterday that I could snuggle with you. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, you told me to go. No, he was like, poopsies, space. And then he like pushed me away. That was exactly like space. And I was like, all right, well, womp womp. So anyway, I love my big old pillow that takes up 3/4 of the bed, and it's wonderful.
It's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, Ro also says that she sets 5 alarms. I do several alarms when I have to be someplace.
Yeah, I know Ro gets up super early every day, so damn. But 5 alarms, yeah. I think one of my greatest life accomplishments has been training myself to get up the first time the alarm goes off and not snoozing at all. That's like, yeah. That was a goal for so long. And I actually do that, but
that's
yeah,
really
I also don't get
goal.
Up as early as Ro. So
yeah. Well, I'd say that's healthier for you too, that they say like snoozing is it's not good sleep. It's actually like it messes with like your awakeness. Like you would be more refreshed and alert if you just get up when the alarm goes off.
Well, yeah, because yeah. I mean, if you're going to snooze like from 6:30 to 7, you're not really going to sleep between 6:30 and 7. So you might as well actually just set one alarm clock for 7 and and actually get that full extra half hour of sleep. But yeah, very hard. It's so satisfying to snooze.
I know. Like, I do that in the moment. That's like my every Friday morning when I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up at 6 and finish the broadcast and be done before like before the workday starts. And then like it's 6 o'clock and I'm like, I hit snooze until like 6:35. And then I'm like, oh, why do I leave this until Friday mornings? This is the worst. Yeah, and then inevitably always ends up coming out around noon. But the goal is 8 a.m., just so everybody knows. Jen, I'm sorry to complain at the start of this show. It was one of those days where I was like, can we just have one thing where we're not complaining? Like, just one thing. Mini Colleen, stop. It was like watching a little me, only like way worse. Way worse. Because at least I used to be scared of my mom if she, like, you know, reprimanded me. No fear. No fear. No fear whatsoever. Like, at one point, Jay was like, if you're going to keep being mean to your mommy, you know, do you want to go back to the hospital and get a new mommy? And he started crying, like, tears. And he was like, I don't want a new mommy. And then literally, like, 10 minutes later, I was like, okay, now we're going to work on sight words. And he was like, I don't want to. I want to play with my trains. And I was like, no, we're going to work on some sight words now. And he's like, I want a new mommy, and storms out. Yeah, that's the kind of day I had. That's why, like, by the end of the day, I was like, can you just shut up? That was like literally not even once an hour, like multiple times an hour all day long. It didn't stop. But, you know, in good news, I guess, Alex asked for a big boy bed today, which he had previously been very adamant he did not want the bars off of his crib. And tonight, he was like, I don't want them anymore. So, you know, we took them off. And then Jay put him to bed, and he started crying that he wanted his bars back. So,
of course.
Oh. You know, yeah. He tried. He tried it.
Good times.
There you go. Oh, man.
You know. Anyway, so if we mentioned it earlier, but if anybody hasn't checked out Broad Topics yet, we recorded a new one this past Monday. It's out on the feed now, so hope you check it out. We had a very lively discussion about, oh my God, what did we even talk about? Everything. We talked about schools again, because we have several people in education / parents that were on the chat. We talked about the USPS and what's going on with that, from funding to mail-in voting. We talked about Congress passing, you know, the next relief bills. We talked about, what else did we talk about? I feel like we covered so much in our time. We talked about a little bit about Kamala Harris as the vice president again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hope you check it out. I had a really great time. I'm glad that we decided to do these. You know, I'm looking forward to, as we get closer to the election, doing them every other week, because I've really had a really great time. And I had to go do something for work today. It was me and my boss. And I was telling her all about, like, some of the stuff that we were talking about last night, you know, just in general. And I took a lot from what they said. Amanda, I used your air traffic controller thing. So anyway, yeah.
After we got off the call, I watched part of the first night of the convention that I had DVR'd, especially Michelle Obama's speech.
Yes, I watched that after you recorded too. Just her speech, though.
I watched it twice last night.
I caught the end of it. That's good. I need to go and watch the full thing. I only saw the part that airing after we were done.
I meant to watch the whole thing today, but I meant to do a lot of things today that didn't happen. So
yeah, I hear you. Should see all the tabs I have open here.
But anyway, yeah, please check that out though. And, you know, come to the next one, which is on September 21st. Monday, September 21st. The Zoom link is in the Facebook groups. Message us if you need it. It's the same link. We're just using it every month. So looking forward to having more people each month.
Yeah, you're here.
So anyway, does anybody else have anything that's not as whiny and complainy as mine?
Ooh, I did something fun on Sunday.
Like what?
Ooh, what'd you do?
The fairgrounds are doing drive-in movies. Oh. And so we went to Dazed and Confused with some friends. So it was like Tasia and like some of like her brother and like some of our other friends. Everyone goes like in their car. And so we like met there, you know, get parked and everything. And then we had some time to, there's like concessions. There's like fair concessions.
Oh, like, that's fun. That's awesome.
Yeah. Frank got a corn dog and I was like, I think that's the most American thing he's ever ordered.
Well, you know, he's an American now.
It's true. But yeah, so we had like time to hang out. Like once, you know, if you get out of your car, you just have to wear your mask, but like everyone's still outside. It's very easy to social distance. We got some fair food. They had like margarita pitchers. You could bring your own stuff, tailgate. And then we had the movie and it was really fun. So we're definitely thinking about doing it again. Looking at some of the movies coming up, they've had like a nice mix of just like fun classics and some more like, I don't know, like more artsy movies maybe. But yeah, so Dazed and Confused was a good classic. I know they're doing one of the Star Wars, but it's, we got really excited because it was like, oh, I watched the first one. I could watch like the second one.
I know this.
We thought it was the third, but then it turned out that it was like one of the newer ones. Because I saw Natalie Portman on the, like, no, that's, I know this. But so that's too bad because I can't, like, that's too many movies to catch up on right now.
Yeah.
One day, eventually. But they're also, like, the next day they're showing Spaceballs. So.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. That's so great.
That's awesome. So did it start after sundown or? Because we.
See, you know, that's what. My neighbor asked us that as we were leaving. And I was like, oh, right. I kind of forgot about that. Cause I haven't been to a drive-in since I was a kid and I just hadn't really like thought about it, but no, they started it. The showing that we went to started at 7. So, which is not after sundown by the time the movie ended it, maybe even like halfway through. Cause I mean, it's like California,
right?
The sun goes down early, but, maybe like halfway through, three quarters of the way through, it was completely dark. But at the beginning, it wasn't. But it wasn't a big deal. Like it's not like we couldn't see the screen. It was totally fine. And they do like matinees also.
Okay, because
interesting. Yeah, and it was like you know, old fashioned. Like they actually had, you know, speakers all the way around. But you could also tune in on your radio.
Oh, that's so deep. I feel like I've done that before.
That's
yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Is that how we used to do it, the drive-through in by Marist? It was through the radio, yep. Right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It would tell you the radio station, and you would have to tune to it. And
yeah. Rose said she's never been to a drive-in, which is crazy. They're fun.
Well, yeah, I feel like they were very common. I don't know, very common, but definitely common, like, in our childhood, and maybe, like, making a comeback.
Yeah, I think in, like, the New York area, because there's not, like, a ton of, you know, big, wide spaces to, like, do that. Like they do a lot of like outdoor movies, but they're not drive-ins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, cool. That's awesome. I'm, you know,
yeah, that sounds
a little
so
envious.
Yeah, it was really fun. Very good. And like 7 o'clock on a Sunday night for me is like a little bit late, but decided to go for it. And I was not disappointed. I still got to bed at my bedtime. And there was a huge fire. Like 15 miles away when we came back. So there's actually still smoke from that. So this was actually the other thing that was crazy. We had crazy thunder and lightning on Saturday night and like real thunder and lightning, which we don't get it.
Yeah.
Basically ever.
Yeah.
But like, it was like a proper storm and I was sleeping through the whole thing, but like half of my brain was really conscious of it. The thunder, I think, is the loudest thunder I've ever heard. And Frank was up and he like went down to the waterfront at like 2 o'clock in the morning and got a bunch of like crazy pictures and just watched it for a really long time. Everyone kind of like stayed up and watched. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I was just really tired. I'm like, whatevs. anyway, it was a cool storm. Nice to see the pictures the next day, but it, of course, lit some fires. And so now it's like smoky here, and that's not fun.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's too bad.
All right. So if does anybody else have anything before we move on?
Nope.
The seagulls are still, they're still here. They're still providing our soundtrack.
They're chatty.
Yeah.
It's very relaxing. It's like, you know, like you're listening to the broadcast on a beach. So.
Yeah, exactly. Which is where we all wish we were, you know?
Exactly. It's fine. Anyway, so for the middle part of the show, I was looking for some stuff and I found this one thing that I thought was going to be perfect. And it was 31 songs that perfectly explain why millennials are the trashiest, messiest generation. But then, like, when I was reading it, it just kind of took you down, like, memory lane. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how, like, much of this. Like, so, for example, Dirty by Christina Aguilera. It's a pretty great song and video, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, maybe that's just, you know, a product of the fact that we were, what, like, 18 when it came out?
Something like that.
Hot in Here by Nelly, Naughty Girl by Beyonce, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Rich. Anyway, I Want to Be Bad by Willa Ford. Do you guys remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
I want to be bad. I want to be bad for you, baby. I want to be bad. Yeah. Yep. Remember when she and Nick Carter were a thing? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's how she, like, became famous.
Yeah. The Thong Song, I'm a Slave for You, which might have been Britney in her, like, hottest, other than the Toxic video. Lady Marmalade. I don't know. But anyway, Promiscuous Girl, It Wasn't Me by Shaggy. So blah, 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 blah.
That song came on when I was in the deli yesterday.
It wasn't
yesterday,
me.
Last week, ordering a sandwich. I was like, God, this song is really terrible.
It really is terrible. And I've always hated that song. Don't call me red-handed.
Yeah, he's like singing this like really lovely
next door,
melodic melody,
banging on the bathroom door.
It's like, cheating on his girlfriend, and he's upset that he got caught.
Yeah,
he's trying to get her buck naked.
How could I have ever known I'd given her my extra key? I know it's a terrible song. It came out when we were in college.
But very catchy.
Okay, here's one. Liquid Dreams by O-Town.
Oh, yeah.
Milkshake.
Oh, God.
I'm skipping through. Peaches and Cream by 112. I don't know. So anyway, this is a great, like, you know, memory lane kind of thing. Oh, remember Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls and Snoop Dogg? Open up my buttons, baby.
No, my button.
That's
baby.
It, baby.
Yeah. I believe I was working at the radio station when that song came out. There's like certain songs that like I can sing you backwards and forwards because I have heard them more times than anyone ever should have to. I worked at a top 40 radio station the summer of like 2005, so it was like Holler Back Girl, yes, and like Behind These Hazel Eyes. I can sing you every single word. Mm-hmm. I'm not proud, but I can.
It's kind of
so
like
cool though.
That's like this summer I worked at Ann Taylor, and I knew every song on their music and the order that they like played in.
A few times been around that track, but it's got the gun have been right
like
back,
that because it ain't no Holler Back Girl. Ain't no Holler Back Girl.
Few times been around that track, but it's got to come. Yeah.
Oh, that's my shit. That's my shit. Oh, that's my shit. That's my shit. This is very entertaining tonight.
That's actually how I spell bananas now.
Like, that shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Which actually, that song always in my mind reminds me of the running joke from 30 Rock with Tracy Morgan, where he's like, "Ah, girl, I'm gonna take you behind the bleachers and get you pregnant."
Yep.
Oh man. Anyway, the only reason I kept this tab open was because you can get the Apple Music or Spotify playlist with all these songs. And I was like, oh, I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yep. Like, remember when you were in college and like 80s parties were like a thing, and it was like, oh my God, like everyone dressed so ridiculous in the 80s. Have you gone back and looked at pictures of what people were wearing in the early 2000s? Like, we are going to be those people. Like, we looked ridiculous.
I know, but I do miss JNCOs. I miss the wide pants. They look terrible on me, but
they don't look good on anybody.
They did on some people.
Your pants were so low, it was like, what's the point?
You know, but you know why we'll never have
the waistband out of pants? Yeah, that was the thing I did.
I know, but you know why we'll never have early 90s parties? Because they're not fun to, like, 80s stuff was fun. Early 90s stuff was just stupid.
2000, you mean.
Early 2000, rather.
Early 90s stuff is just a lot of plaid.
Yes.
A lot of plaid and black lace.
And overall jumpsuits.
Yeah. So they're fine. Early 90s is pretty fun. I'm actually really, that's something I'm really enjoying about season 2 of Pose. It takes place in 1990 and like remembering how ridiculous, how much of like the 80s was kind of bleeding into very early 90s. You're like, oh, right. The clothes were pretty fun. Yeah. What a bright color.
I was telling Zach this past weekend or last at some point recently about how we used to wear glitter eyeshadow. Remember, like, used to have the glitter
everywhere. Oh, there was glitter everywhere.
Everywhere. That's what we were talking about.
Glitter gel. It was your eyes. It was your cheekbones. It was everything. It was
I loved that. Radical. I wish we could do that again. I remember the tutorial you put it on your everything. Yeah. I loved that.
Oh, it was everywhere.
I know. Oh, man.
I think they had glitter hairspray. So, like, your hair could be glittery too, because the butterfly clips were not enough glitter.
Oh, I love the butterfly clips. I loved them. I loved them. I loved them. All right. Well, maybe,
ridiculous. Oh. Top it off with some like square ice blue sunglasses and you were ready to go.
Gross at glitter moisturizer.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the chat. They're mentioning
bright like a diamond.
Yes. They're mentioning the 80s in the chat. And Gott said that bad 80s music is the best.
And it's pretty good.
Rose said, I bet my clothes would take the 80s awards. And then JP was talking about parachute pants and said, my worst style decision was when we used to tuck our jeans into our socks.
Yeah. Yep. That was a real thing.
I know. Was it like, was everybody just prepared to go for long hikes in the wood? Like, were we all bushwhacking or something?
Or they were like riding a bicycle, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. That too.
I feel like that's how fashion is going to look back on the jeans tucked into like riding like tall boots.
Oh.
I feel like 15, 20 years from now, people are going to look back on that in the same fashion and just be like, well, that was weird.
No.
Of course, but we thought it was cute at the time. Like, you wouldn't do it if you thought it was stupid in the time. But,
well, that's one of those things. So, Gott says, I think we used to beat you up, JP. And I was going to say, that's one of those things, that the jeans tucked in, that we'll see on some season of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
You know it.
It's coming.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
But anyway, so the thing that I did land on, which was something that we put on pause a couple of weeks ago, and it was, if you could reboot a popular movie from a different character's perspective, what movie and character would you do? And some of the ones that I enjoyed, so this is from Ask Reddit, was Mean Girls as told by Regina George.
Interesting.
Which would have a dark ending, you know, with the whole getting hit by a bus thing. let's see. What else? What else? And please feel free to jump in if you have anything that you would like to. The Matrix told from Agent Smith's point of view, constantly trying to quell the stupid human insurrection.
I would say Harry Potter told from Hermione's point of view.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah. That's good. Even Harry Potter told from Snape's point of view.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It could be,
You know.
Maybe not the whole series. I mean.
Well, why not? I mean, isn't that
I just don't like Snape, but I agree that it's a good one.
But definitely from Hermione's point of view. I think we can all agree that nobody really needs Ron's point of view.
That's okay. It would be a much shorter book.
I'm good on that.
All right. This one is from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original one. The story of how Grandpa Joe got into bed and this, and then just decided to stay there. That lazy old bitch. Explain yourself. Toy Story from Andy's point of view.
I feel like that'd be a good like Pixar short. Like, you know how they do like the shorts to like accompany the full movie?
Oh,
I feel like I wouldn't want to see a whole movie of that because that's just like
we are into toys. Alex is obsessed with Toy Story 4 and all of the Toy Stories. So we have watched all of the shorts, but and I agree that would make an excellent short.
All right, Pixar, if you're out there and just randomly looking through the internet, listening to random things, you can have this idea. Just cite the broadcast, please. Come collecting our royalties.
Let's see. Top Gun from Iceman's perspective, Maverick's the asshole in that movie.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What a terrible movie. Top Gun?
Yeah.
I think I have a soft spot for it. It's probably a terribly unfeminist movie, but the volleyball.
I rewatched it a few years ago, and I was just struck by how it's like a movie that everyone builds up and has a cult following for, but it's a really bad movie, and the story is shit.
Yeah, there isn't really much of a story.
No.
Somebody brings up Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, which already is kind of rebooting Hamlet from their perspective, which I love Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. I seriously do.
Yeah, I think it's a great piece.
Yeah. Like, what's the every entrance is an exit somewhere else?
Yes. Oh, I love that line.
I know. Love that. Love that. Love that. Let's see. What does the chat say? Let's move into the chat.
Oh, we've got some good ones in the chat.
We do.
Yep. Ro says the Godfather told from Fredo's point of view. I like it. Ooh, I like this from Forrest Gump from Jenny's point of view.
Yeah,
I worry that might be a little. Yeah, dark. I worry. That like it plays up. It would get creepy fast.
It would be very depressing. Yeah. A lot of bad stuff happens to her.
The Goonies from Chunk's point of view, JP.
It'd be a very different movie. Oh my God, Gott, you've never seen The Goonies? What's
I only
wrong?
Saw it for the first time a year or two ago.
That's right.
Was that way too.
And it was recently because my time hop told me.
Oh, man. It's a good movie. It's even more fun as an adult because there's a lot of things you pick up on that like you would never get as a kid. It's for all ages, The Goonies.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Ro says that she loves Top Gun, but she loved Top Gun then, but so much it does not hold up. I will just not rewatch it.
This is like one good song does not a movie make.
Yeah. The Lord of the Rings trilogy from Sauron's perspective. I like this one actually. It's a Wonderful Life from Mary, the wife's perspective.
Oh.
Married to a dreamer with fits of depression, raising four kids, rebuilding a beautiful old Victorian house, helping him make his dream of helping his community come true and trying to protect him from his loser uncle, all while watching him spiral into a deeper and deeper depression. Will she be able to help him get out of it? I would watch that. I like Mary. She's a good character.
Very exciting.
Okay, and then one more. Willy Wonka from the point of view of an Oompa Loompa who is working to ignite a slave rebellion amongst his people.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I would watch that.
I would watch the fuck out of that. In the chat, JP says, Castaway from Wilson's point of view.
An underrepresented point of view in film. That's the volleyball.
Yes. And then a deep cut here. JP also says, bonus, every married man podcast from Dale's point of view. JP, I feel like all those old school married man podcasts were solely Dale's point of view. Just saying. The good old days. All right. On that note, let's, if anybody has anything to contribute It's always fun to hear what listeners have to say. The broadcasters 3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373. On that note, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back and do some feedback. All right, we are back and ready to get into some feedback. We will start off with a little bit of the facey back. And this is in regards to my comments about the Umbrella Academy character of Luther being the worst. Got says, indeed, Luther is the worst. Dennis says, don't you think that's the way the character is written? He's supposed to be a little slow. No, I don't think it's the way the character is written. I think the character of him and Diego, like, they're supposed to be people with, in my opinion, like, the hero complex that just is taken too far and looks ridiculous. And because it doesn't matter, like, even if he's slow, like, he doesn't listen to what Allison has to say, and she's generally right.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I don't know, just in general, Luther's the worst. Dennis says, the thing I liked most about the Umbrella Academy is the way the humorous quips work so well. They slip them right in and then move right on. I completely agree. I love all comedy that does that. Even like the dark comedy, like, or darker shows like this. Like, yeah, love that. There were so many great, like, one-liners within that show, which I was going to name one that I mentioned to Dennis in response on the thread, but I won't because spoilers. And then Susan said, Umbrella Academy, every time Luther's accent slipped, I had to laugh because I remember that he was Dickon Tarly. Dickon. Dickon? Right?
Dickon.
Dickon. That's right.
Dickon and Rickon.
That's right.
Oh, that's not confusing.
He's the one that's the dick one.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. No, it's not confusing then. It's just descriptive.
If you're going to be either Dickon or Rickon, it kind of sucks to be Dickon. Although Rickon, I mean, wouldn't the diminutive be Dick anyway?
I guess.
No.
It depends.
I mean, if it's close to Richard, whatever.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
That's where my mind was.
As opposed to Richardon. They're both short for that.
You know, it's their given name.
Yeah.
The Christian name.
My good old friends, Dick and Rick. Gail says, in regards to our episode last week, listening to you gives me hope for our future. I heart each of you.
Oh, that's really sweet.
That was really sweet. I got a message from Mike after he listened, and he was like, I wanted to come on Broad Topics last night and yell at you about capitalism after the last broadcast. He agreed with you, Shandy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Don't remember what I said, but I'm sure it was great. The capitalism is a problem.
Pretty much.
Basically. Although we're brainwashed. That we are so brainwashed. We really are. It's really interesting.
Anyway, and then we've got some Mattsplaining for Bon Iver's name and why it isn't Hiver from Wikipedia. Vernon left Raleigh, North Carolina and moved back to Wisconsin. He spent the oncoming winter months at his father's cabin in Dunn County, Wisconsin. According to Vernon, it was during that time that the Bon Iver moniker first entered his mind. While bedridden with mononucleosis, he began watching the 1990s TV series Northern Exposure on DVD. One episode depicts a group of citizens in Alaska, where the show is set, emerging from their homes into the first snowfall of winter and wishing one another Bon Iver, Haver, French for good winter, Shandy.
Yeah, Bon Iver.
There you go.
In Alaska, okay.
I think I made that way German. I was like, Hiver.
Very
that's the whole thing, is the H isn't pronounced, so that's why he can remove it. It doesn't change the pronunciation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It was initially transcribed by Vernon as Bon Iver. However, when he learned of its proper French spelling, he elected not to use it, deciding Iver reminded him too much of liver, the site of his illness at the time. My pronunciation is basically how I heard others say it. But I can see how I missed the right way since I'm not a French speaker and will defer to Shandy. Glad to hear Colleen was watching She-Ra with Zach and Amanda is continuing Pose, which obviously is a different experience watching it now versus when it aired last summer. And since Shandy has seen Umbrella Academy season one, I'll let you know that the actor who plays Pogo is also plays Archie on The Great. And then finally, some That's What She Said.
It's right up my alley.
I need to go back and give this a try.
Is this something that she's done before?
I had to finish it off.
We do know Mikey's general size.
I'm very greasy right now.
That was Gabby going to town on my couch.
You're just taking, and it's not a sustainable system.
I have faith in us that we can do it.
Let's end this in a positive way.
Always a good way to end it.
Always a good way to end it.
And then finally, Butter Shemales. The first email is from Dennis.
Centennial plans are in sight. Martha Wheelock and Wild West Women. And it's an excerpt from the news, a newsletter, I assume, from Martha Wheelock, said Martha Wheelock and Wild West Women. Dear Wild Women and friends, women, be joyful today. It's our centennial. It's our day, Women's Equality Day. Today we celebrate the perfect 36, the ratification of the 19th Amendment. This victory for equality moves me beyond words. 900 local, state, and national campaigns by foot, by petition, by parade, by speeches, by lobbying, by imprisonment, by nonviolent direct action. All tactics and principles we can praise and imitate. Be joyous with us in celebrating the constitutional right to vote. Our August emails feature Carrie Chapman Catt's radiant, inspiring speech, Be Joyful Today, a virtual gift of our suffrage films for, and yeah, then it lists a bunch of things that they're offering in celebration for Centennial. And the newsletter signs off March, March, many as one, shoulder to shoulder and friend to friend. So yeah, thanks. Thanks for sending that, Dennis. I believe actually is today the centennial?
I think it is today because I was seeing things going around online.
I believe it is.
I'm just like, I'm having a really hard time being feeling very festive.
I am too. I'm very conflicted about it.
Yeah, like, and I think what bothers me the most, I mean, is the racism involved in it. Yes, that's what bothers me the most. That's like the thing. But the other thing that really irks me is that, I don't know about you guys, but like growing up and like in grade school and stuff, and even in high school, like the 19th Amendment was presented as, you know, when women got the right to vote. And that women was understood. Okay, it wasn't specified, but when you just say women, it was understood as like all women. Especially, and so then to realize later that it was only white women, it feels like you could have taught that better.
Right.
Like don't whitewash over, like when you say women, you have to be specific if you're excluding so many women.
So is your issue.
That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like we are whitewashing our history. We are by omission. We are trying to brush off our
racism.
Our less admirable ideals.
And like, I feel like I could be maybe a little bit more festive as like, oh, this was an important step in the right direction. And
it was unfortunate
how the white women excluded the, you know, and like there's, but like, I feel like I could feel more festive about it if in the history books and in our education system, it had always been presented as such, not as this is when women got the right to vote, as this is when white women got the right to vote. And by the way, this is when, you know, this group and that group and these other groups of women also got the right to vote.
I feel like, and especially because this is the centennial being the year and being at the point of history we are in, it does feel like a real missed opportunity to not use this as an opportunity to have the larger conversation, the conversation we should have been having.
Totally. And like, when you think about, you know, like in France, women, like women's suffrage was granted in 1945. And like, I remember learning about that and like part of me feeling like, so, I don't know, like just like kind of proud to be American. Like, oh my God, they didn't get the right to vote until 1945. And like, we've had it since 1920. To realize like, oh, actually, like there were still people up until 1965 in the US who still couldn't vote. So like, I shouldn't be so holier than thou.
Just out of curiosity, is your issue with the fact that voting only came for white women, or is your issue with the fact that history teaches it differently?
I mean,
because
both.
I think that you can recognize that women getting the right to vote was an important step in the right direction of progress, although it wasn't far enough, while also simultaneously recognizing the whitewashing of the history, not acknowledging that. Like, I think that, you know, you could probably, you know, women have got the right to vote with a, ooh, Siri doesn't understand. Women, like, I think that, you know, you could still teach that white women got the right to vote, but, you know, comma, but black women wouldn't get, or, you know, women of color wouldn't get the right to vote for another blah, 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 blah. So I think that, you know, you can still teach it because it is a milestone, just, you know, a milestone in the complicated history of American progress, which arguably has always been too slow.
Right. Well, and that, yes. And it, yes, American history is complicated. All history is complicated, but it is a shining example of the fact that historically white women have not been terribly good allies in the struggle for equality.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying let's sell it. Like, I'm not saying, you know, like.
Right. No. And I wasn't saying
don't
yeah,
get down on it. I'm just saying that I think that there is a way that you can recognize two things at once just by the way that you teach it in history books.
Right. And we shouldn't.
Yes. And to answer your question, like, for me, it's really both. Like, yes, I'm very disappointed in my white four sisters for their racism. I'm also very disappointed in our education system for its racism. And I mean, like you said, like, I really do think that I would have a different outlook on it if a more whole picture of it had been presented to me when I was growing up. And I didn't have to come to these realizations as an adult.
Right.
And like, sort of on my own, when my education system was supposed to tell me that.
Right. And this kind of actually does speak to what John Oliver mentioned on his show recently within the past month, where he was talking about, like, the 1619 Project and how, you know, Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton and, you know, a group of people want to, are fear-mongering, essentially, that liberals just want to, you know, teach the 1619 Project and change history and take away your, like, rah-rah, feel good about America being so great. And his whole point was, you can actually just teach history for how it is, because then you've got generations of children who are going to grow up and learn the truth at some point. Some of them clearly are never going to accept it, and those are the people that, you know, don't accept science and math because they're not willing and open to listen to other people's perspectives, or not even other people's perspectives, just like they're not willing to listen to anything that's outside of what they know. And you have, you know, then a group of people like you guys, us, who, you know, grow up and are like, oh shit, that's not, you know, just kind of resentful of history that they, you know, could have been taught to them differently, that now they realize they have to go and relearn a whole bunch of stuff that they grew up learning, you know, differently. So this is the second time that I've had this conversation today, actually.
Well, it's fitting, I guess, for the day. But no, I mean, the thing is, like, teaching quote unquote history with an agenda to make people think rah-rah America, like, that's propaganda. That's not history.
And it's, yeah, and call me crazy, but from where I sit, I feel like teaching our American history in all its imperfections and seeing this country for what it is as a whole, I think is a much better way to inspire the next generation to actually, like, take some pride and to love their country and want to make it better.
Yes.
That I think, you know, look at, like, the people we love in our lives, we love because they are imperfect. Shouldn't our feelings about our country be the same way? That, like, if you're only presenting the good parts, it's not, at least for me, it's not, it doesn't inspire me to action.
Yeah. You can never change or, like, move forward if you don't actually know, like, things. Like, your actual history. And, mm-hmm. and we should all want to continually be making our communities and our states and our countries better. Like, that should be the constant goal. That doesn't mean that you hate America. That means that you actually love it and are invested mm-hmm. in making it the best possible version of itself.
Yep. Like, what's that great James Baldwin quote about, you know, like, I speak so negatively about my country because I love it and I want to see her be better. I'll go find it.
Okay, you find it. Let me read Rose's comment from the chat. She says, what I find is that name recognition creates a sort of prideful remembrance. Kids don't remember snippets of what they're taught if they're not taught in a deep and meaningful way. Or with song.
Coming from a teacher here.
Or through song. 15 mm-hmm. 50 United States from 13 original colonies. Just saying. Jay can sing the whole, Jay knows the whole Greek alphabet because he learned that song when he was in third grade.
Yeah. Nice. So Rogue continued then also.
Oh, sorry.
So just knowing the name of a place or person or event makes people feel a good association, but that's not teaching history. We have to be honest about it. Yeah.
Right. Yes,
agreed. So that James Baldwin quote that I wanted to find, it is, I love America more than any other country in the world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's always struck me as so bizarre when people are like, well, if you don't like it, then you can just leave. What kind of dumbass response is that?
To just blindly accept everything and just...
Right. And never, like, want to improve anything. What?
Right. To criticize and to want to make something better is somehow a bad thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of those people are the ones that, instead of just leaving when they didn't like America, turned around and elected Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So.
Truth.
It's a great job. Great job.
Yeah, I really wish that Joanne was here right now to give us her opinion on this topic, because I feel like Joanne would drop some truths.
Loved it.
Yes. So I think this actually also somewhat lends to what you guys were talking about in our group chat about Mrs. America and its historical inaccuracies.
Oh, yes. I forgot that we had talked about that today.
So, does anybody want to explain, people who have seen, ladies who have seen the show, do you want to talk about what I'm referencing?
Shandy, do you want to take it? Or?
Sure, yeah. So if you've seen the show, it really presents the ERA as being blocked by Phyllis Schlafly and her, you know, grassroots movement. And it really seemed like, you know, everyone was on board until she started baking bread and such. And I mean, I have to say, like, I kind of sort of bought what was shown to me and didn't necessarily, like, think harder than that about it. So there was this piece that came out in the LA Times written by Gloria Steinem and Eleanor Smeal. And it sort of, you know, explains why the version that was presented in the show is really not what happened and is ultimately very bad for women. And it goes in to talk about how, like, yes, Phyllis Schlafly, like, you know, was a person, and, you know, like, you can look her up online and whatnot. But she had a movement, but it was really just an excuse for other people to then get on board with opposing the ERA because they already wanted to oppose the ERA because of all of these financial interests. Like insurance companies, for example, that stood to lose a lot of money if they had to, you know, for example, like, charge women the same as men for healthcare. And as soon as I read that, I was like, oh,
well, that checks out.
Of course. And so what they ultimately do is present, you know, the sort of idea of, like, this catfight between women, when really it was these big financial interests that really stood in the way of the ERA. And of course, that makes a million times more sense. And, you know, continued to be a problem and continues to be a problem today. What I found interesting was that with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, some of, you know, they were kind of like obligated to do some of those things anyway. So the article mentioned that like now there's not as much resistance to it just because the Affordable Care Act fixed some of those financial.
It sort of tied
their hands anyway.
Yeah. Basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It basically made them that they, put it into law.
But yeah, so I still really enjoyed the show. I thought it was, you know, beautifully done, beautifully acted, really interesting. And it was so interesting to see the, in particular, like, you know, interspersed with clips from the time period. But I thought that was a really important thing to bring to light.
Which was what we're talking about with history, right? Like being taught history. Right. But in this case, it was also like the line between historical fiction and historical entertainment too.
Right. And I've thought about this a lot. Every episode has a little advisory that comes up before the intro that sort of these characters are based off of actual events, but certain things have been adjusted and changed for storytelling. And that I feel like is just like a really kind of blanket thing that shows that like historical based shows do. So it's like, I didn't really give it as much credence as perhaps it deserved now having read that article, that it's like, that you do just get really, really sucked into the story. And it is easy to say like, oh God, like, you know, it's like I was watching the series and I was just like so angry that just this one woman single-handedly like brought down this whole thing. And I didn't stop to think like, well, no, that is probably a gross dramatization because this is a drama and it's an easier, a more emotionally pulling story to make the big bad a person instead of an idea. Like it would have been a completely different show. And I am of two minds that it's like, it's important to tell stories accurately, but as storytellers, like it's also important to have the freedom to just like make a good show and tell a good story.
Right. And honestly,
hopefully responsibly, you know, because that's the thing is I feel like there was a little bit of a lack of responsibility there. And like, to your point, like the thing of them having a disclaimer of, you know, this is based on blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, the character of Phyllis's best friend, she's made up. And like, cause I would like look up people as we're going and she's made up. And so it was like, okay, like I see the purpose that she's serving and that's fine. If Phyllis Schlafly didn't actually have a best friend like that. And like, and that's fine. But I was taking it more for like those kinds of additions and stuff.
That's what I was doing too. Yeah.
Well, this just also goes like this responsible storytelling, much like with we were just talking about like responsible teaching of history. Like, you know, you can take liberties to an extent, but, you know, most people are going to go into something and they're just watching TV to watch TV. And so this it being, you know, inaccurate, I actually knew about before either of you watched it, but, you know, that I kind of forgot about it. And then when you guys started watching it, I, you know.
Yeah. It's just interesting though, because it completely takes responsibility away from the actual people who are responsible, which in turn makes it so that like there's not any sort of like call to action really for what we could be doing, because what we really need to be doing is fighting these types of
I'm so sorry. Can I cut in for a second? I'm really sorry, but I don't want to forget it. With the responsible storytelling, it's if we had just been presented something like this, that it's actually the idea versus the bad guy, that also kind of just normalizes the fact that oftentimes there's not one bad guy. There's an idea that, you know, somebody in the powers that be or somebody has, you know, someone can profit financially off of, or they don't want to do the right thing because it's about their profit. And if more stories like that were told in entertainment, it would make it a lot easier to believe in the non like conspiracy theory QAnon sense for the average everyday American, where they're seeing this in like their entertainment presented to them in a normalized way, where, you know, perhaps it would be easier to swallow if something like that is presented in real life. And it's not just like the radical left is anti, you know, corporations because they want everyone to not have jobs and be socialists or something. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Shandy. But
no, but that's exactly it. And so the responsibility is taken away from the people who are actually responsible. There's no call to action. It's just like, oh, these women just can't. You just can't agree. And like, I get, like, there's value to seeing the Aunt Lydias of the world because they certainly exist. So yeah, like, you know, there's value to telling those stories too. Like, women aren't always the, you know, the good girls, good guys, good gals.
Good humans.
The good humans. Yeah. The heroes. So like, the hero, the heroines. So that's great, and I like that complexity, but it takes away responsibility from those who actually, like, the interests that were actually behind it, which is patriarchy when it comes down to it. And then what was brought up also in the article is like, so okay, like, who is making all this money? All these, like, all the people involved in the show are making all this money off of this show. Like, are they, you know, are they donating like a substantial portion of it to passage of the ERA? Like, what are they doing about it?
Right.
Because they get to then profit off of this and not really have any action and not even call the audience to action. It's right. Just like, oh, well, it's never passed.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, it's a limited series. It's not, they're not making more episodes. Like, I don't think anyone got rich making this. I mean, the actors probably made the best money out of everybody. Just to kind of frame that a little bit, but I point taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, Dennis, I'm sure this isn't the discussion that you thought your email was going to bring.
I know. I really wish I could be more excited, but
yeah. Although I will say, to bring it back to Mrs. America and the storytelling for just one more hot second, now that I know that Phyllis Schlafly was not that big of a player in this whole thing, and when I was watching, I was like, why are we not seeing more Shirley Chisholm? Like, why does she only have one episode? And then we don't see her for like three episodes. Yeah. Now that I know that Phyllis Schlafly was not as big of a deal in the story, historically speaking, I am more firmly rooted in my belief that cut half of her scenes and give more of them to Shirley Chisholm, because Uza Dubo was absolutely perfect casting, and I would have watched the entire series could have been just about her, and I would have been utterly satisfied.
And her political role at that time is way more fascinating than almost anything else that was going on. Like, that was a huge deal. Another huge deal that we're really not taught about in K-12, just saying.
That's actually how I first came to hear about the show, because I follow Uzu Adubo on Instagram, and she had posted some pictures of herself as Shirley Chisholm and that she was going to be playing Shirley Chisholm in something. And I got really, really excited. And it's like, I didn't know what it was going to be about, but I was just like, oh my gosh, this is perfect casting. I can't wait. Whatever this is, I'm going to watch it. And I'm really, really excited that, like, they're dramatizing this very important woman in history that we just don't talk about enough. And I was very disappointed with just how little screen time she got in the series, and now more so now knowing the bigger context of the historical accuracy and or inaccuracies in this case.
Yeah.
But that's it. We can move on.
I like how I'm nodding along like I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to be attentive. But anyway, thank you, Dennis, for your email. Yeah. All right. Finally, we'll finish up with an Andy update, and then we will get out of here.
Okay, Andy writes in with a virgin's thoughts on, are we supposed to pronounce it?
WAP.
WAP, okay. Hey, broads. So I've listened to Wet Ass Pussy, and I liked it.
There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this. I actually really like that song, too.
A lot of people really like that song. It's like way up there.
It's the video, man. Like, it is really hot. I'm not kidding.
All right, so Andy's listened to it, and thankfully you won't have to hear a commentary from me like those conservatives clutching their pearls, even if some of them may have been clutching something else while watching the video.
Okay, true.
You know, guys who apparently don't understand hyperbole or how women's bodies work. I know, huge shocker. Well, at least we got a good Ben Shapiro self-own
Hell out. Hell yeah, we did.
Self-own out of it.
Have you guys heard the Ben Shapiro video?
No, I don't understand that entire sentence. I feel very old.
Jesus. Okay, I will play it. Finish the video and finish the video. You finish reading it. I will pull it up. It's pretty good.
Okay. Sure, I can see how it can be intimidating. I've written a lot about how I'll probably take it slow and get to know this figurative her better before things get physical, but that's not really the subject material for a banger. Not that I don't appreciate the enthusiasm of Cardi and Megan, but I don't think I'm going to dive into the deep end. Where are the pool metaphors in this song, though? Not that I would be either rapper's type. As I've said before, I'm looking for something different because of my lack of experience and anxieties about it and want to let those who just want to have fun do so. The song is dirty, but I don't have any problem with dirty songs, and it's not like dirty songs by female rappers is a new thing. When I was younger, we had Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, and Trina, not to mention the legion of hypersexual songs from male artists from any genre, plenty of which are filled with misogyny. Helen Shoyer's B.I.G. and Guns N' Roses, to name two, include actual sex recordings in some of their music. I did not know that. Clearly, there is an intimidation there where men aren't comfortable seeing women as sexually forthcoming as men. I don't see a problem in it. While I think it's unlikely my first experience will be anything like in Cardi B and Megan the Stallion's #1 hit.
It won't. I'm just going to go out there right now and say, just say it.
Encouraging women to be open about being sexual is a good thing. Okay. Also, macaroni in a pot? Is that just like the squishy sound you get? Or
macaroni in a pot.
Or is that the setup for a scene for when they reboot American Pie? # I'm 6 feet from hers with a bucket and a mop, Andy.
Okay, so I encourage anybody out there to check out the video for yourself before you listen or after you listen to the Ben Shapiro commentary. I think you actually have to go to YouTube and type in WAP, because if you Google it, you'll get a whole bunch of reaction videos first. But that being said, Ben Shapiro, who sounds like a podcast played on 3x speed at all times in his life. Go on, you guys know I'm right. Like, he sounds like an angry chipmunk, but he also sounds like if you put like your podcast like accidentally like on triple speed. Just saying. So he was trying to get, there was a, you know, he was trying to play off of the conservative controversy on the lyrics of this song. Which, I mean, I wouldn't let my children listen to this song because there is a level of appropriateness, but it's very clearly a song for adults. So I just want to put that out there.
Here are some of the lyrics. You ready? Whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. Hold up. I said certified freak 7 days a week. Wet ass P word. Make that pullout game weak. Yeah, you effin' with some wet-ass P-word. P-word is female genitalia. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet-ass P-word. Give me everything you got for this wet-ass P-word. Beat it up, N-word. Catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this P-word right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top, I want a ride. I do a kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. This P-word is wet. Come take a dive. It continues along these lines. And it gets significantly more vulgar, like a lot more vulgar. Talk your S word, bite your lip, ask for a call while you ride that D word. You really ain't never going to F him for a thing. He already made his mind up before he came. Now get your boots and your coat for this wet ass P word. Pay my tuition just to kiss me on this wet ass P. Right. So this is, guys, this is what feminists fought for. This is what the feminist movement was all about. It's not it's not really about, you know, women being treated as independent, full, rounded human beings. It's about wet-ass P-word. And if you say anything differently, it's because you're a misogynist, you see. It gets really, 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 really vulgar.
Okay, couple of things. First, he says that, like, having a wet-ass P-word being fought for by feminists, like, it's a bad thing.
Right. Like nobody benefits from this.
And second, Second of all, they're showing clips of the video in the background, like it's a split screen as he's saying this, except like you can still see the nipple pasties, like they blur out the boobs, but you can still see the pasties through like the blurs, so it doesn't even do that much.
Oh my god.
But the best part about the self-owned part about this is that his wife, he goes on to say, and I thought I had the exact quote. He says, okay, when I first saw the lyrics to this song, my first concern is that these women are describing a serious gynecological problem. I'm serious. I mean, a bucket and a mop. There's something going on here that is not biologically normal. There's a problem. There's water pouring out the front door. Fortunately, I know a doctor who is my wife, and I asked her for some medical diagnosis. And she looked at the lyrics herself, and after being kind of appalled by them, obviously, she had a few indications on how she could diagnose the vaginal condition these women were apparently suffering from. The cell phone being.
Oh, honey.
He's never gotten his wife off, no clearly. Words. No words. Oh, we should have liked this.
He doesn't even realize how he sounds.
Nope. Oh, but I mean, Twitter had a fucking field day with this. All right. here, let me read you some sample tweets. Ben, yes. Shapiro reading Please the do. Lyrics out loud just dried up all of the wet ass pussies in the world. I can't believe we live in a world where Ben Shapiro thought that angrily reading out the lyrics to WAP like a pearl-clutching mother at a school council meeting would not be extremely embarrassing for him. feminism is about wet-ass pussy is the only correct thing Ben Shapiro has ever said. Ben Shapiro sharing with the world that his wife, a doctor, told him that wet pussy is a symptom of a gynecological problem is the greatest self-own in the history of self-owns. Anyway, that said, the video is not safe for work. It's probably also not safe for people under like 13, maybe under 21. Not sure about that.
Well, good thing it came out in a year where none of us are at work anyway. Everything's safe for work now.
Work is your computer.
Okay, one more joke that I saw.
That's true. I work off of my own personal computer. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I have to admit, the first time I watched this, I was in my office by myself on one of my days in, and I did watch it on my work laptop. Okay, one more. Ready? Ben Shapiro. I like my pussy like I like my wine. Dry, white, and unassuming. Oh, all right.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks, Andy.
Yes, thank you, Andy. That was great.
This is, you know, like Dennis didn't expect his email to go that way. Pretty sure Andy expected his email to go this way.
Yeah. He knew his audience.
Anyway, it's a fun video. Check it out. All right. Okay, let's bring this home. We really should have led with this because a whole bunch of people that probably stopped listening like an hour ago because they were like, low energy. If only they knew that.
For those who persisted.
Right. Yep. If only they knew a little bit of patience. Nevertheless, a little bit of patience pays off because.
Yeah, it sure does.
It ends with a WAP.
Progress is always a straight line.
Good times. All right, on that note, if anybody else has anything.
Nevertheless, real persistent.
Ben Shapiro has never persisted.
Nope. Sure hasn't.
Oh, in the words of Thomas Jefferson and Monroe in the great play Hamilton, his poor wife. All right. On that note, everybody, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you to the patrons that came out to hang out with us tonight. If you would like to become a patron and hang out with us, watch us do this live, see all the things that are definitely going to go. I mean, we're cutting at least 15 to 20 minutes of this show. So if you want to know, like, if you want to be in the room where it happens, come be a patron. Patreon.com/JaneJack or click on, or go to JaneJack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link at the top right-hand corner of the page. Other Patreon fun things include bonus shows once a month. We'll be recording our bonus show, which is some of the stuff that is cut out of our episodes that we play for you guys once a month and give commentary on. You can see that too. That's what I've got. I'm selling it real hard, guys.
It's good. You're doing great. Said.
A special thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner, Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys, as always. We really appreciate it. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to jandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. Check out the Broad Topics episode that came out this week. Again, we had a really fun time recording this week. We had some really lively discussion. Like, it was really great, especially the last 20, 25 minutes of it. Join us for our next one on September 21st in the Zoom where it happens. As Matt said, be there or be square. We'd love to hear if you have any feedback for anything we talked about tonight, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can call us 331-276-2373. I think that's about it. As always, thanks for listening. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, and P.S., let us know what you thought of the DNC. Send us feedback on that. We'll talk about it next week.
Definitely.
Okay, bye for real. Bye.